today's sermon. Am I on? Thank you. Today's sermon is about God's love. He loves me still. Of all the churches, Thyatira is the most challenging one to preach. Because in Thyatira, the church reaches rock bottom. In Thyatira, in some ways, it gets about as bad, Sonia, as it can get. The church is so far off in Thyatira that the word Jezebel is used. But ultimately, Thyatira is about a loving God who just won't stop loving his wayward church. Everybody should have said amen. In many ways, Thyatira is about you. The person. It is a statement of God's patience with you. You ever hit rock bottom? I mean, you're not sure your prayers are getting through. Huh? You don't want to come to church. And even sitting in the pew, you feel unclean and unworthy. Have you been there? Let's pray. Father, just talk to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. To my online listeners, Pastor Cosley Joseph will be your online pastor. If you have questions, want more information as I'm preaching, just indicate that as you are watching and he will respond. I hope that you're keeping up with your notebooks. I've not mentioned them for a couple of Sabbaths. No handout today, but there will be one on next week. He loves me still. The letters to the seven churches are written by a Savior who knows his church well. The letters to the seven churches are written by a Christ who knows that the church had lost its first love, smothered with the gradual accumulation of the mud of compromise and apathy. And so he led them from Ephesus to Smyrna, Deacon Ebanks, that he might teach them the lessons that can come from trial. Sometimes the Lord just has to beat you up because your head's so hard. He pulls back that hedge, Joe, that he's kept around you, and he lets you feel how angry Satan is with you. Not how angry he is. Come on, church. How angry Satan is. You do understand that if Satan had his way, you would have been dead a long time ago. I mean, do we understand that? That's serious stuff. But the Lord will let you go through Smyrna, but sometimes Smyrna's so rough, it leads you into Pergamos. You become a compromising Christian. You can't take the chastening of the Lord. And you begin to compromise. Even though we have a church like Laodicea that has no commendation from God, still Thyatira is that low point. Laodicea is a church of hypocrisy. They are described in these words, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." In other words, Laodicea is full of hypocrisy, but Thyatira is full of apostasy. Just walking away from God. And let me give you a word of warning. It's important that the pastor today give a word of warning. I do not care how long you've been in the church. I do not care how many generations you represent of Adventism. Do not ever think for one minute that you couldn't leave the church. Because there's some stuff coming. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody right now and say, "There's some stuff coming." Go on and say it. That's going to knock you upside the head. You're going to see, there's too much echo in this microphone. There's just too much echo. You're going to experience some stuff. You're going to hear some things that you just aren't ready for. In other words, before the Lord takes you to heaven, He's going to find out who you are. So there's apostasy in Thyatira. Thyatira, in contrast to Laodicea, who says that I'm right when she's wrong, Thyatira has lost its sense of right and wrong. Thyatira is religious, but not spiritual. Thyatira is the natural result of Pergamos. Ultimately, compromise, Pergamos, leads to Christian with a head so messed up, Thyatira, that their conscience has gone on vacation. See, here's another warning. Never, ever say, "I would never do so-and-so." Don't say it where Satan can hear it. He will test your guts. And there's many a person, some sitting in this church, some listening to me, who have scars on their soul because the very thing they said they would never do, they did it. They did it. That's Thyatira. But the beauty of the Thyatira message choir is that as bad as it is, God still sees something in Thyatira worth saving. Go on and give God a hand. Yes, sir. He actually sees, in an apostatized church something to save. Simple sentence. Don't ever decide you're so bad God can't save you. Because He's a specialist in salvation. That was a weak amen. I said He's a specialist in salvation. That's why you're sitting here. That's why you're sitting here. So, Thyatira is a statement of God's love. His love is everlasting. You see, even those who are ultimately destroyed at the end of time are destroyed because God loves them too much to force them to spend eternity with someone they don't love. Everything God does is based on love. And because God's love is everlasting, He will spend the rest of eternity missing those He did not save. That blows my mind, Nicole, because when I understand the fact that God, David, is going to blot out of my mind the memory of the lost, so I can be happy for eternity. But God cannot forget. So everyone that is lost, He will remember forever. You're happy, God hurts. That's the love of God. Thyatira is a statement of God's love. In Ephesus, they lose their first love for God and truth. In Smyrna, God allows persecution, trouble to get their attention. But as we've learned, the persecution spread the church. And when Satan discovered he could not destroy the church, he joined the church, Pergamos. Satan inspired the Roman emperor to join the church during Pergamos. The church became popular and then spiritually diluted Pergamos. Once the compromise became habit, the church lost its sense of correctness and became Thyatira. Let me describe some of the loss. Let's review the prophetic timelines. Ephesus 31 to 100. Smyrna 100 to 313. Pergamos 313 to 538. And remember, at around 321, Constantine joined the Christian church. Thyatira, 538 to 1798, but some say 1517, the beginning of the Reformation. Philadelphia, Sardis, 1798 or 1517 to 1833. Philadelphia, 1833 to 1844. Laodicea, 1844 to the coming of Christ. If you look at Christendom historically, Thyatira is the low point in terms of the church distancing itself from its roots. I have been amazed sometimes when I bump into people who have left the church to see how far out they go. Have you ever noticed that? They don't just wear jewelry. They wear extra jewelry. Have you noticed that? They don't just paint their face. They look like a clown. Just. Like they got to show everybody, I'm out of the church now. They go to the lowest dives and listen to the most raunch music. But here's what blows my mind. Even while that person's doing that, they cannot escape the truth. Somebody say amen. It's all down inside of them, and God sees it. And just when you think you have separated yourself totally from God, he comes in your back door, knocks you on your back, and saves your carcass from sin. That's the God I serve. I don't know about the one you serve. That's the God that I serve. And so in Thyatira, the Vestal virgins and priests of the heathenistic worship were dedicated to the religion of Roman Greece, were replaced by Christian monks and nuns devoted to the parishes and cathedrals of Roman Christianity. Syncretism is the word. The church began to combine heathenism with Christianity. Perhaps the most dangerous thing that happened during the Pergamos period was the gradual change from individual members knowing and studying God's word. Instead, the Bible became the sole property of clergy. By the time you come to the end of Thyatira, the 18th century, get this, by the time you come to the end of Thyatira, the Bible is now chained to pulpits. Nobody was allowed to have a Bible. See, I'll tell you this. If you're going to apostatize, you have to stop reading the Bible. See, that's why you stop coming to church. See, if you keep coming to church and listening to Henry Wright or people like him, sooner or later, I'm going to say something. Huh? Man, I hit you every Sabbath, but sooner or later, God's going to put something in my mouth. You cannot escape. That's why you stay home. You can't take a chance that you might get saved. Yeah. Yeah, so stuff began to come into the church in Thyatira. They gave up the teaching of clean and unclean meats. They forgot the Leviticus system of tithing. And then two key truths. Now she's taking him out. That's what she should do. Now when my mother got me out, I'd come walking back in church like a little saint. So hope the sisters got follow through. But two terrible sins came in during Thyatira. The first was the total giving up of the Sabbath. They went on and bought into the fact that the first day is the Sabbath rather than the seventh day. And the change was made by a leading Christian body. Can you fellas put those quotes that I had in my sermon up there? That question and answer. Did you get that? Maybe they didn't get that. Here's what they said. This is a quote from the Roman church. How prove you that the church hath power to command feasts and holy days? Answer, by the very fact that we change the Sabbath into Sunday, which Protestants allowed us to do. And then, from that same church leadership we read, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find one text authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Sunday, a day which we never sanctify. Of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. James Cardinal Gibbons. So a leading Christian group in Thyatira decided to change the Bible, and as Jeff Taylor so beautifully presented this morning, not only did the doctrines of Jezebel come into the church, but the church did nothing about it. He called Thyatira the nice accepting church. They just let falsehood come in and sat quietly in Thyatira. But then there was another false truth that came in during that time, and that was the false teaching concerning the state of the dead. Now note the Sabbath truth and the state of the dead truth. The book Great Controversy says these will be the two main truths of controversy in the last days. They started in Thyatira. The teaching that the dead are not dead. That when you die, you go straight to heaven. And there are many sincere Christians who believe that with all their heart. They don't understand that the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9 and verses 5 and 6. They don't understand that the righteous are not resurrected till the second coming of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians. They don't understand these things. So because they do not, they sincerely believe a falsehood. And the church, the nice church that Pastor Jeff talked about, has accepted it. And so when people say something different, now truth sounds like a lie. And so talking to Thyatira, the Bible says, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my servants. But I said Thyatira is about God's love. Let's get personal. Have you ever been hurt and disappointed in someone that you love? Now, this is real, folk. You trusted them. Maybe even said, I do to them. And they hurt you. How many would agree without raising your hands, that's a hard thing to get over? I don't want you to raise your hands. You might be sitting next to them, so I don't want you to raise your hands. Stay with me. This is what Jesus says in Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. The church is the bride of Christ. Revelation 21 and verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, there's something deep going on here. Watch it now. Jesus is announcing and celebrating his love for his wife in Revelation toward the end of the book. But do you know how his wife treated him? Have you ever read the story of Hosea? Huh? Hosea was a pastor fresh out of the seminary. And he's praying one morning, having morning worship. And the Lord comes to him in the midst of morning worship and says, Hosea, it's time to get married. I'm sure Hosea nodded with a great deal of appreciation, thinking one of the nice ladies of the church would be God's choice. Are you listening to me? He probably thought about Sally here, who worked in the Sabbath school, or Jane over here, who sung in the choir, or Hortense, who sang up in the... And he's waiting for God to name the woman he would marry, adding to his image and his position as pastor, now casting him forth to be considered for the large churches like Sligo and Tacoma Park, because the right lady is by his side. And the Lord said, guess who I want you to marry? I want you to marry that girl whose name is written on restroom walls. And I see Hosea almost choke. Maybe I ate too many veggie links last night. This is a nightmare. This cannot be God talking. And God says again, go marry her. And then names her. She's the girl who's got the worst reputation in the church. Her name is Gomer. Marry her. Are you listening to me? We're talking about the bride of Christ. No. I'm not taking that name home to my parents. And no pastor will perform the marriage ceremony. Watch me now. God says, I'll perform it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God the Father hooked his son to the church. Nobody else would have done that but God. Nobody would have married their son to you but God. Only God would call you family. Only God would call me family. Are you listening to me? Thyatira is an announcement from heaven that God takes us as we are. Does not change his mind. And though we embarrass him and spread his name all over Tacoma Park, God says, hey, don't push my child too far, Satan. That's my child. That's my wife. I will marry her. Hosea says that he betroths himself to us in love. Hosea marries Gomer. By the way, Hosea's name means God saves. The word Gomer means not perfect, but I'm getting there. Hey! They start having children. The first child means no mercy in this place. They've been married a few months, marriage has fallen apart. Hosea's telling God, I told you, this ain't gonna work. Do you know, listen to me, do you know how many times Satan has told Jesus about you, this ain't gonna work? Do you have any idea how many times when you're sleeping in your sins that Satan is telling Jesus, you can't save them? You have any idea how many times in your lifetime Satan has said, you're wasting your time. Henry Wright belongs to me, but I know a God in glory who is not buffaloed by Satan. He'll tell him to his face, get your hands off my son. They have a second baby. That name means mercy's leaving the house. They're falling apart. Hosea's coming to church now without his wife. The members are talking. Idiot, you never married that Gomer. According to Hosea, she leaves him. She becomes real Thyatira. She leaves the church. And then for some reason we can't figure out, she comes back. Now, I imagine when she first left, Hosea said, I did all I could do. Make it work, Lord. See? See? See, Hosea sometimes and his attitude toward Gomer represents us. Don't ever decide that somebody won't come back. You got a child out of the church? Keep on praying. You got a nephew out of the church? Keep on praying. You got a brother not coming to church? Keep on praying. That person you were baptized with not coming? Keep on praying. Don't ever decide God's business. Gomer comes back. And so after she comes back, marriage starts, she turns up pregnant. We know how things are. They've made up. Things are going well. Baby's delivered. Hosea goes to the hospital. You know how they do, don't you? They have a little baby sitting out there, all the little fat faces out there behind the glass. It's so much fun. There they are. They're just squalling and kicking and so forth. And the nurse always comes and picks up your child. Brings it. So you can see. Hosea says, nurse says, Hosea says, see, the word Leruhamah means, that's the third child. Leruhamah means, not my baby. Not my nose. Not my hair. Not my baby. And he gets so angry, we're not given the details, she leaves again. But in chapter 3, God says to Hosea, go find your wife. And he finds her downtown on the stripper street being sold for pleasure. And when Hosea gets there and sees his wife, he says, see, I'm out of here. The Lord says, bid for your wife. Hey, you ought to be celebrating right now. I'm talking about Thyatira. That's how some of you got back in the church, because Jesus was not embarrassed to be identified with your foolishness. He went where you were, found you in your sin, and cried out, this is my child. I'm talking about Thyatira now. I'm still preaching on Thyatira. He had to buy her back. And so, in the book in Revelation, in case you think you forgot my text, Revelation 2, look at this. Look at this. It's beautiful. Revelation 2, in the message to Thyatira, these shocking words come up. After all this mess and foolishness, the Lord says in verse 24, 224, look at it, 224. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, the young lady read it, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. That is, he's saying, there's some folk in Thyatira who didn't apostatize. But let's take it personally. See, let's take it personally. Though you go astray, God says to you, there's some stuff left in you that still ain't crooked. Choir's too calm for me. Hallelujah! Praise God! He looks past my foolishness, past my apostasy, past my liquor, past my dough, past my tobacco, past my carousing, and says, I still see in Henry Wright something I can't say. They're not all bad. That's why you got to keep your mouth shut when somebody leaves the church and comes back. They're not all bad. And you ain't all good. So just shut up. Let them come on back in here. Then he says in verse 25, hold fast. You can't be down and you can't be out And you can't be discouraged, but hold fast to what you got. At least pray. Come on, y'all. May not become the church, but pray. Yeah. You can pray with liquor on your breath. Pray. You can pray with tobacco on your breath. Pray. You can pray while you're spending God's tithe. Pray. What little bit you got left, hold on to that. Don't just throw everything out. The love of God blows my mind. Because God's love is such that he says in Hosea, therefore, behold, I will allure her and speak comfort to her. God says, Hosea, not only do I want you to go back and get Gomer, but when you get her and bring her home, say sweet things. Give her a Valentine's card. Dress up Laruhuma with the best clothes. Ain't your baby, but that's all right. See, that's what I like about God. I could even bring my mess back to him. And he takes it in and claims it as his own. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he was accepting all of our activity. Praise his holy name. I will give her vineyards and a door of hope. And then he says to Gomer, I will betroth her to me forever. And so the church, get this, the church that calls the Lord the most embarrassment is the church to whom he shows the most love. Now, Elder O'Neill, if we could learn that as church members, the member who's the weakest at Tacoma Park, that's the person we ought to love the most. Amen. The young person whom we've heard did so and so and so and so, that's the young person we ought to take the most time with. That was a weak amen, but. Tom Considine tells this story. A man and his wife have been married for 30-some years. And he finally got a job that really was bringing in some money. But the job required quite a bit of travel. And so she was used to helping him pack up his luggage, getting all the necessary things together so his trip could be successful. Money was rolling in, nice new house, car, and of course, their children. There was a particular trip that came. He'd have to go to Japan. This is a true story. This appeared in Reader's Digest back in the 1960s. The story is entitled, Could You Have Loved This Much? He was assigned to a trip in Japan. He'd be gone for 3 months. He always would call, say he's arrived, and every day would call and let her know how things were going. That went on for the first about 90 days he was gone. And then she got this call saying, I will have to extend my stay. I'll be in touch. Day went by, no one touched. Week went by, no one touched. She calls the office to ask, is my husband okay? And gets kind of a flat answer, as far as we know. We became two. She calls the office again, look, what's with my husband? I mean, everything going on the job? The answer this time is kind of evasive. Well, we'll let you know. That sounded strange. I mean, he's your employee and he's doing your work and you'll let me know. It's now become 30 days. She's heard nothing. She goes to the office. Wants to see a supervisor. And the supervisor does everything he can to kind of put her off. Finally, she works her way into his office and she looks at him and she said, what is going on with my husband? The supervisor says, you really haven't heard from him? She says, nothing. So his eyes drop. Well, Mrs. calls her name. There's a situation. And we'd rather that you get it from your husband. Well, he's not calling. I'm writing. So she could see that the supervisor was very uncomfortable. He said, well, I just hate to be the one. There's a situation. What is the situation? He said, we'll be in touch with him. We'll get him. We'll get him to be in touch with you. It's now going into 3 months. She's heard nothing from her husband. Been married 30-some years. The letter she gets is from a little Japanese girl named Mayuki. And in not well-written English says, your husband is ill. I am his caretaker. And just all the radar, the bells, the lights were flashing. She goes back to the office. She confronts the supervisor. My husband's ill. You haven't told me? Supervisor says, well, is that all he said? He didn't say anything. I got a letter from Mayuki. And the supervisor gets real nervous. He says, Mrs. calls her name, said, I don't know how to say it, said, but your husband and Mayuki have become very close. And there's a situation. She says, if you tell me that one more time, he says, she is pregnant with your husband's child. So, well, who's Mayuki? Well, it's our custom when we send a man overseas that long, we assign some personal help and we contact an agency. They send someone, and she was assigned as the housekeeper and the cook and so forth, and said, she's devastated. 30-some years of marriage, y'all. To her knowledge, she's never stepped out of line. She's never stepped out of line. And this is what she gets after 30-some years. And she gets it from somebody else, not even from him. 2 days later, a second letter arrives. Mayuki, it's a little bit better English this time, saying that the husband is at the point of death. She goes to the office. I need to get to Japan. Well, we can't provide that. But my marriage is falling apart. This is your fault. No, we're sorry. She doesn't have the money to make the trip. Within 10 days, she gets a third letter. Your husband is dead. It's a true story. And then Bob Considine says the most amazing thing he's ever heard of took place. She went about to her friends, went to the banks, made contacts, and raised enough money not to go to Japan, but to bring Maoki and her husband's baby to America. Did you hear what I just said? Did anybody hear what I just said? Considine's story is called "Could You Have Loved That Much?" It takes another several months. The baby is born. And then there is that day when this dear woman walks to the airport. This is back in the days where you didn't have to go through security. Walk to the airport, goes out to the tarmac, and stands there and watches Maoki walk down the steps from the plane, carrying her husband's child. And greets that child. Maoki is barely out of her teens. Hugs her close. Receives the baby. And says, "You're coming home with me." Anwar,
I am loved, I am loved. I can risk loving you, for the one who knows me best, he loves me most. I am loved, you are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are love. I said, if you knew, you wouldn't want me. My scars are hidden by the face of where he said, my child, my scars go deeper, and it was love for you that put them there. My child, I love you more. I am loved, I am loved. I can risk loving you. For the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved, you are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are loved.
I'm standing here today because the Lord Jesus Christ accepted my situations. And covered them with his blood. I'm standing here today because the things I have produced, the babies of selfishness, the babies of self-centeredness, the babies of self-indulgence, he has received me back with my children. Come on, somebody. Wrapped his arms around me. Embraced me to himself. Bring Henry and his past. I'll take care of it. I'll cover it. I'll see that it doesn't build a breach between me and him. Did somebody say amen? I am loved. Hey, turn to somebody right now and say it. I'm loved. Go on and say it. I'm loved. Tell somebody. Tell them twice. I'm loved. I'm loved. Thyatira is not too much for God. And neither is your mess. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Holy Father, I leave it in your hands now. Somebody wants to bring their situation to you. They've lived way too long in Thyatira. If you're watching me online, you're now contacting Pastor Cosley Joseph and saying, pray for me. I want to bring my situation to Jesus. If somehow you were surfing and caught this message and caught this service, tell Pastor Cosley, listen, I'd like to be contacted. I want someone to pray for me. I've got questions to ask. But I want to respond to the call of God. You're sitting in this church. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to come forward. I just want you to give your situation to Jesus. Come out of Thyatira. What you have, hold fast. You can't fix everything that you've messed up overnight, but what you got left, hold fast. Still praying, hold fast. Still doing a little Bible reading, hold fast. Still have the courage to come to church in spite of, hold fast. And then ask the Lord to help you. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, you want to make a decision. You want to respond. You want to make this the day that you sign up for Bible study. You want to make this the day that you come forward to prepare for baptism, to join the church. Just those two. Bible study to prepare for baptism. You want to do that today. Everybody's praying. One more course, Anwar. Let's see if somebody comes.
I am loved. I am loved.
Now to do this, you'll have to get up. Come down here.
I can risk loving you. For the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved. You are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are loved.
Course again.
I am loved. I am loved. I can risk loving you. For the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved, you are love. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are loved.
Thank you, Father.